I'm like Brother Paul. Our time together is too precious to talk about each other and do a lot of thanking you. Although I do thank you so much, I fear that I might be taking more home with me than I left. You've been such a blessing to me. Now, I had two sermons that I've been trying to decide on, and I'm not an on-demand preacher. I have to think about stuff. Brother Paul's got me stirred up on the kingdom of heaven. I'd love to think about it. I'd love to talk about it. But there's another sermon that I come down here with, and I feel like that it's necessary that I share that with you. And I just pray that I don't make the wrong decision here, Brother Silas. You know what I mean? Sometimes you don't know which way to go exactly. The things Brother Paul said before us, I most assuredly believe. And so, but I want to give you some ideas about how to walk in the kingdom, how to live, some answers. And I think so many people, so many of us, have so many questions today. And young people come to me with questions that you think, well, you know, I hadn't thought about preaching on that. I hadn't thought about answering that. So I want to try to spend a little time with that this morning. I want to start out with fear, because I think that fear is something that just completely destabilizes us. It just paralyzes. You know, fear just paralyzes us. I was in the military and went through basic training, and one of the things we had to learn was to operate under fear. Even under fire. When I went in, they would say, hit that mud hole and on your, you know, just jump in that mud hole, and I'd, you know, like a cat, sort of. But it wasn't long until they got my hair cut off and put boots and clothes on me that didn't fit. And when they said hit it, I hit it. And that's the way we've got to be in the kingdom of God. We've got to, even under fear and under fire, we've got to know how to respond and react and not have to stop and reason everything out. It's got to be reasoned out. You got to be on that foundation. You got to be established in it. And a scripture that I went to sleep on last night and a lot of nights is in Psalms 56 and 3. I've got this posted close to me most of the time. And because I need it so much. Psalms 56 and 3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Maybe you don't get afraid, but I do. I get afraid that my Social Security check won't come. I have reason to, don't I? That kingdom, Brother Paul, of the world, you never know what's going to happen to it. The foundation is so shaky. I fear poverty. I fear a sickness, you know. I think, well, I've got a place here. I need to go have it checked. And I get to imagining that I'm going to lose half of my face before I get there. And they say, well, it's nothing. You know, it's okay. But I fear, you know, and fear, it stimulates a lot of imagination, and that's what really gets us into a mess. We start imagining things. I've got to tell you one little story, and I'll try to keep these stories to a minimum. When I was a kid in Mississippi, I grew up on a dairy farm, and in there, almost every day, we would come get ready to milk the cows, and they're supposed to come to the barn. But you know, there's always one that wants to stay back on the backside of the pasture. Well, that was about a mile and a half, and I was a young boy. And, of course, I was swift on my feet, and Dad says, go get that old cow. I don't remember what her name was, but she's over there in the back 40, you know. Go over there and get her and bring her on so we can milk her. It's almost dusky dark, so I start on that cow path. If you've been around cows, you know, they all walk in a line. They make a path. I'm on that path, and I'm jogging, and it's getting darker, and I get way back there, and there's a clearing, and I see a bear. You ever seen a bear in Mississippi? But I saw a bear, and I was convinced it was a bear. But I knew I couldn't go back to the barn without that cow. My father had said, "You go get that cow." So I slow down and I begin to walk, and I'm watching that bear. It's standing up on its back feet. I think. And I get closer and I get closer, and I can finally see it. It's a bush that looks like a bear. I said, "Oh, thank you, Lord." Imagination. The Lord says He'll turn them over to the own imagination to their heart. Oh, that's torment.
Yeah.
I bet very few of us are ever in a place quiet enough to hear odd noises. You know? We're probably not anymore, are we? I'm an old man now, and a few months ago my wife went off with her friend somewhere, and I'm sitting there just sort of, you know, meditating in my chair and thinking about this and that, and something had happened outside. I don't know what it was, but it was big. And I started imagining things. I imagined about 10 things, and I said, "Lord, wait. You know, that's okay. It's okay. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Yeah. Put that in your quiver.
Yeah.
You're going to need it. If you hadn't got it in there already, you're going to need it. What time I am afraid. I think so much of the old Apostle Paul, how he overcome his fear. You know what he said in Philippians 2:21? He said, "For me to live is Christ, and die is gain." I can see some of you have already got that in your quiver.
Yeah.
To live is Christ.
Yeah.
To die is gain. I got to tell another story. I was in the war, and I'm in a helicopter, and we're hovering over a battle. I'm telling you, explosions down there at about, we're in 3,000 or 4,000 feet, and I'm sitting in the door of a helicopter, and there's a group of men supposed to follow me, and got my feet on the skid and my M16 ready to go, and bullets, you can see tracers going both ways and mortar shells going off down there, and we're hovering, we're waiting, and finally we get a clearing, I call it an LZ, and boom, the bottom fell out of that thing, and we hit this little circle down there on an airfield that had been overtaken for 2 weeks. I was scared to death. If you ever been in war and say you're not scared, I want to talk to you. I was scared. But I want to tell you what saved my life. I was scared, but I wasn't afraid of God. This thought came to my mind. Boy, you either going to be with the Lord, or you going to go back to Mississippi. It's going to be all right. And you know what? It was. It was all right. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I remember one time being under terrible pressure about preaching and whether or not to preach, and how in the world could the Lord call me to preach. And I promised God that if He would just give me some peace, I'd do whatever He wanted me to. Several years later, it was to preach. I've done the best I could ever since. Best I can. But to live is Christ. That's what I want. I love that song, "I Come to the Garden Alone." While the dew is still on the roses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You been there? You been there? Get up early and watch the sun come up. A young lady called me not too long ago, and we were talking about some science things, and I could tell she had never seen the sun come up. Apparently. I explained to her about a sunrise and how beautiful it was, and how you see an arch of glow before you see the sun. Oh, the glory of God's creation. Somebody says, "Oh, God's in the trees, God's in the stream, God's in the river, God's in the grass." No, He's not. That's the effect of God. That's God's creation. Oh, Moses, let me... Oh, my granddaddy was bird hunting in Mississippi. I'm telling too many stories. I got to get to the Word of God. But I'd bird hunting in Mississippi, and these quail would come up, you know, and just a whole covey of them, they'd go up there, and I'd shoot through there, and not a feather would fall. My granddaddy said, son, when they're coming up, you just shoot and sling that shotgun, and you may get several. Well, I don't tell you that don't work either. But that may be what I'm about to do here. Just sort of scatter. But anyway, let me get back to my subject. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh, that we might walk with Him. That we might see Him. He's not in the trees. That's where I wanted to go. Moses said, Lord, he was discouraged. He said, Lord, show me Your glory. Show me Your glory. He said, if You don't go up to Canaan with us, I don't even want to go up. I don't even want to go. He said, well, I'm not going with you because y'all worship idols and all that. Moses said, Lord, we don't want to go. I don't want to go to church if the Lord's not here, do you?
Right.
I don't need a weightlifting room, and no offense to anybody, but I don't need all of the things that we're seeing auxiliary to churches today. I don't need that. You know what I need? I need the presence of Jesus Christ to know His love when I come to the house of God. And you know where I'll be next Sunday? I'll be back. If I can just know the presence of the Lord, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Went in on that LZ and I knew it was going to be all right. I was either going to be with the Lord or I was going back to America. Oh, John, 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect, and that means mature. Have you matured in your love? Jesus says, except you become as a little child. That's maturity. Yes, it is. Another one of those paradoxes, Brother Paul. You become as a little child. I hope you all had parents that were there when you got off the school bus. I hope you did. I did. Somebody was always home when I went home. And I'm so thankful to God for that. And I trusted them. I had a wonderful childhood because I could depend on my parents. I could depend on them being there. One of the sweetest things that my son ever said to me was, Dad, you've always been here for me. It meant a lot to me. Except you become a little child. Out of fear comes that imagination of bad things. All kinds of imaginations. The Jews rejected Christ and imagined all kinds of evil against Him. Oh, you doing these miracles with the power of the devil, Beelzebub, in fact. Oh, you can't be the Son of God. We know your parents. Imagining, fear hath torment. It distresses a man. It fills him with anguish and anxiety and trials and problems. Fear makes us uneasy, keeps us from serving God the way we ought, even the fear of men. You know, as I pondered being here, this place, at this moment, I wasn't afraid of you. But I imagined Jesus sitting right there in that chair. And me trying to tell about Him. That's what we got here right now. That's what we got. Anybody want to volunteer? You got to be called to this or you'll back out. You got to have something in here
or you'll quit.
Proverbs 3 and 5. I go to sleep with this one too. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. You can't figure it out. You can't figure out the love of a little child. My little grandson loves Papa so much, and I don't know why. I don't spend that much time with him. He lives 6 hours from me. But how is it he loves me so much? I believe he trusts me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Can we understand that simple love as a child? Jesus would put a little child on his knee and say, except ye become as this little child, ye shall not enter or inherit the kingdom of God. Simple, simple, simple. You know, we have to complicate the Bible. It's really pretty simple, isn't it? But we complicate it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Our dollar bill says, in God we trust. How long has it been since you took a dollar out and read that? I fear that I get to trust in more in the dollar than the God of that has given it to me. Trust in the Lord. Then we get to serve in the creature more than the Creator. Brother Paul touched on this, and I want to elaborate just a minute on that too. The creature. You know, that movie come out, The Passion of Christ, and everybody flocked to see it. I watched it, and it was pretty good. It had some good points in it. But there's a lot of people that just worships a crucified Christ. You remember the women on the first day of the week, they climbed that mountain with all kind of good smelling things, and it's going to anoint the body of Christ in the tomb. They didn't know that he didn't have any sin, that his body wouldn't deteriorate. They didn't know that. They didn't know, and he'd been telling them, I'll be raised up. And they got there, they was talking about how we're going to get the stone away, and they got up there, and the stone was rolled away. But he wasn't there. And some man in white said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. What is your image of God when you pray? Some old gray-haired man sitting up there in heaven lost control of his children? I struggle with that. I struggle with that picture that somebody drew of a beautiful, long, flowing hair, olive-colored skin, Christ. And I go back again and read Isaiah 52 and 53. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. His visage was marred. You know, he was. They had to hire Judas Iscariot to betray him because he looked just like all the rest of them. They know which one he was. We're going to arrest one of them, and we're not sure which one is Christ. If he was here this morning, he would be dressed like us. He wouldn't come in here with a red suit and white hat and white shoes. He'd be like us. And somebody mentioned already, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of my little ones, you've done it unto me. You know, we need to be careful. God's children are His prime love.
That's right.
Psalms 31:15. My times are in thy hands. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Some of you not old enough to remember a song on the radio that said he's got the whole world in his hand. He got you and me, brother, in his hand. He got you and me, sister, in his hand. I guess that was a 70s flower child song. I don't know what, but it made some good points, you know. God's got it all under control.
That's right.
Paul would again say to live is Christ, and die is gain. Psalms 127 and 1, except the Lord build the house. I want to talk about this one for a few minutes. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh. But in vain have you spent all of your time and your whole life to have a brick house, so it lasts a long time. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. He said again, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open to me, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Oh, how often do we leave Jesus out? Yeah. I had a man tell me one time, said, Danny, we've programmed Jesus out of our church. We've got ministries for everything. And I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just talking about the way it is. And let us not do that. Or let us not just ignore him and just come to church and drag in, drag out. There's a reason for being here. I think about the Tower of Babel. We're going to build a great city and we're going to build a great tower. I thought about this in New York. We had the privilege to go see the towers that they were. As soon as they fell, they got everything cleaned up and started building them again. We'll show them. That worries me to have that kind of attitude. Babylon, they will build a great big tower and a city. So we're not going to go out. God had said, you go out into the world and replenish the earth. Nope, we're not going to do that. We're going to build a city and a tower so we can all stay together. Go to. Let us build a city and a tower. Go to. You know what God said? Let's go down there and confound their language. Can you imagine trying to build a frame or build a house and nobody can talk to each other? That kind of messed up their plan really bad, didn't it? A craftsman's tools are of no value if God is not behind it. If God's not with you. If God's not in your home is going to be a hard, he's going to paddle upstream. I'll just leave there. But some trust in chariots and horses. We it's so easy to trust in our military might. Yeah, I want a strong military, but that's not where my trust is. We need to be vigilant. We need to be watchful. But we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. But here's one that helped me with my boss many times. This is Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Had a young lady one time said, I'm just disturbed, I'm so confused. We've got a wonderful pastor. This is a Primitive Baptist girl. We've got a wonderful pastor, I love him, he's preaching so good. But he's telling us so much that I need to be doing that I can't do it. I can't do it all. And I'm just distressed and I'm under pressure and I want to do what he's preaching. But I said, who are you trying to please? Yeah. Your pastor? Yeah. Or God? She just broke into tears. That's my problem. I said, lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. And it goes on, but I'll stop there. The point is, we try to fix it all at one time. You know, we pick out the thing that's bothering you the most this morning. What's your greatest problem? If you could come up here and say, Jesus, bow down before him right there in that chair and say, Jesus, here's my problem. What would you tell him? What would you want fixed? You can still do that. That's right. At the throne of grace. That's right. Yeah. At the throne of grace. He don't have to be here. That's why he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. How many times have I asked God, Christ, to tell God what I need? You know, Lord, thy will be done. So we trust in our military. We trust in the strength of our nation. We trust in everything but God. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh but in vain. You can put cameras in your house. I'm not against that. We need to be vigilant. We need to be careful. But I want to tell you something. I don't care how many cameras you got. I don't care how many alarms you got. I don't care how bad your dog is. Except the Lord keep the house. It won't be kept. Except the Lord keep the city. It won't be kept. Except the Lord keep our church. It won't be kept. Your pastor can't do it. His arms are too short. All he can do is what John the Baptist did. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Follow Him. Follow the Lord. Matthew 6 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added to you." Simplify this thing, brethren, sisters. Take the simple truth. Just serve God. Just serve God. We fear civil government, but the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. As the river of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. We was talking about the news media last night over at Brother Silas's house, and we agreed that, you know what? I just about quit watching it. We both just about quit watching it because you don't know what's truth and what's not, and you can't do anything about it except God can turn the heart of the king. Yeah, and God can turn us. Sometimes it has to be us that's turned. Speaking of the sovereignty of God, He has turned wicked kings' heart many times. He anointed Cyrus. He said, "Whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him." You know what Cyrus did? God sent His people down to Babylon, and Babylon took them captive, right? Then God, and 70 years later, God sent Cyrus to punish Babylon for holding prisoner Israel. Folks, that's the God we serve. He can do what He wants to, and it's right, just, and holy. It's righteous. Hope. Hebrews 6:17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope before us. Which hope we have, an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that which is within the veil. You ever seen an anchor dropped on a big ship? I have, and it just goes out of sight. And there's a huge chain tugging. You can't see the anchor. He says, your anchor goes up. It's anchored behind the veil. Amen. It goes out of sight, but you're tethered behind the veil. Amen. You're kept, child of God. You're held in the hands of your Lord. You're not drifting on the ocean of life. You're tethered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace, believing that you abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hope. Expectation. What would life be if you lose hope? What would it be if you lose hope? The world says, Brother Paul, the kingdoms of the world says, you just hope. We're going to build this company and it's going to be an empire. Give us all of these big speeches and stuff. Go to meetings. Go to another meeting and plan another meeting. We're going to be an empire. We're going to take over all of our competition. And then it falls through. Stock market goes down. I got money in the bank. I'm good. Stock market goes down. Where's your hope? It's an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Folks, I'm with Paul. To live is Christ, to die is gain. My hope is anchored behind, beyond, in the veil, beyond the skies.
Amen.
Anchored up there, tethered to our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to quit there. It nearly kills my soul to preach past 12, so I'm going to quit. God bless you is my prayer.